the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, we start today with one that's not new, but it sure is topical. Here we go.
Welcome back. We are joined now by America's UN Ambassador, Nikki Haley. Ambassador, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Many of us are perplexed, to say the least, by President Trump's recent UN address, particularly the ominous threats he made to, quote, totally destroy North Korea. What the hell was that?
Well, I think what you saw yesterday from the president was he was being honest.
Maybe that's why we didn't recognize it.
I know that, you know, people and countries don't want to hear it, but here is a man who continues to threaten our allies. He says he's going to destroy the United States to ashes.
Yeah, but enough about Donald Trump. Let's talk about North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, who the president has been taunting recently, both on and off social media, with the nickname Rocket Man. Do you really think that's a good idea?
I will tell you that, look, this is a way of, like, you know, getting people to talk about him, but every other international...
He always takes to Twitter just to grumble, grouse, and gripe. He's having fun, but Kim Jong-un is not the playful type. I'm slightly more than panicked that this schmuck is gonna wipe us off the map by acting like a baby. He's playing cat and mouse, but he's the mouse among these men. He fires up his fan base with his talks at the UN. I'd rather he behaved more presidential, but again, he's acting like a tiny little baby. And though I know his followers are thrilled, he's gonna get us killed. How do you solve a problem like Korea? How do you sleep when missiles start to fly? How do you not have constant diarrhea when all of our lives depend upon this guy? Many a name you know you'd like to call her, but certain things are better left unsaid. 'Cause how can you do the trick with childish rhetoric? How can two tiny men have such big heads? How do you solve a problem like Korea when you're a crazy dotard?
Dotard.
Dotard. Or a dotard, I'm sorry.
Office man.
Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself. The United States is ready, willing, and able. But hopefully, Rocket Man.
It's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown finally brings him back to find he's not the man they think he is at home. Oh no, no, no.
Rocket Man.
He's a rocket man.
Rocket Man.
Burning out his fuse out there alone.
Rocket Man.
Kim Jong-un saying he takes President Trump's threats personally, so he has been rattled.
I think it's gonna be a long, long time till this dude finally does something right. You'd think his tiny brain would finally grow. Oh, no, no, no.
Dotard.
Dotard.
He's a raucous man. Raucous man. Gonna start a world war with his phone.
They will be met
with fire and fury,
the likes of which this world has never seen
before.
Oh, Jesus.
How do you solve a problem like Korea? How do you get them not to drop a bomb? How do you calm their autocratic leader?
Just tell him his hair looks dumb and go, your mom. Trust me, that shit always works.
Why does your mouth have constant diarrhea when you're supposed to be a diplomat?
Your imbecilic insults could have apocalyptic results. Just tweet him and say, hey, Kim, your ass is fat. Don't.
Oh, how do you solve a problem like Korea?
And by the way, Rocket Man should have been handled a long time ago. Little Rocket Man.
Girl.
Not like that.
Rocket Man.
Go card.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Randy Rainbow. Now, again, not a new video, but one that worked as the dotard is today in Vietnam and to have his second summit with Kim Jong-un. I love Randy Rainbow. I could do just play his videos back to back. And some days we'd probably be better off if I did. There's so much going on and there's so much wrong with this world. From Michael Cohen testifying today in front of a closed committee. Tomorrow he testifies in public, but why is anything closed at this point? I don't know. Yes, C. Fields in the YouTube chat room said Kim's thugs had the press thrown out of the hotel. And yeah, Donald Trump just goes along with whatever his new BFF Kim wants. Pretty frightening stuff. What else? Last night, I had to reboot my computer and, of course, lost all my notes for today's show. So if I'm a little more disjointed than usual, that's the reason I lost my roadmap. But there's tons of stuff to talk about, though. I was just watching and I didn't have time to edit it and pull it. But I got to tell you, I was watching this. Oh, damn it. And I closed the window, too. Shit. Basically, I was watching a hearing. I don't even know what committee it was, but a House committee where my congressman, Ted Deutch, was questioning someone from the Health and Human Services about the fact that HHS, either personnel or people they were supervising, have been sexually assaulting unaccompanied minors who were taken from their parents at the border or who came alone and have been held in cages by our government, have been sexually assaulted. Thousands of people, or at least 1,000 children. It's let me see if I can't pull up the story so at least I can. I won't be able to play the video because it's 5 minutes long, but I will link to it, and I will link to it from my blog at NicoleSandler.com. Here, let me just read to you from Raw Story. A Florida Democrat, that would be Ted Deutch, my congressman, and I'm very, very proud of him for this. Ted Deutch, congressman for my Coral Springs area here, blew up at an official from Donald Trump's administration today for attempting to dismiss reports of migrant children being sexually assaulted while being held in government custody because the alleged assailants are outside contractors. You know what? I wonder if there's no commercial here, I can cue into
Chairman,
it is.
Okay.
I'm going to cue into this just a little bit so you can get the gist of it.
All forms of sexual abuse.
Listen to this.
Without objection.
Okay, now he's introducing documents to the record.
18 on allegations of sexual abuse reported to DOJ.
Without objection.
Charts detailing incidents of sexual abuse reported to DOJ that occurred in ORR's unaccompanied alien children program.
These are all, again, documents he's introducing.
And finally, Mr. Chairman, charts from FY 2017 and 2018 listing incidents of sexual abuse, dates when the incident was reported to ORR, the FBI, and the care provider.
Without objection, documents will be entered into the record.
Okay,
thank you, Mr.
this
Chairman.
Is
Commander
the exchange
White,
I want you to hear.
Demonstrate over the past 3 years, there have been 154 staff on unaccompanied minor. Let me repeat that.
154.
Staff on unaccompanied minor allegations of sexual assault. This
Unbelievable.
Works out on average to one sexual assault by HHS staff on an unaccompanied minor per week.
Per week.
These documents tell us that there was a problem with adults, employees of HHS, sexually abusing children. When you carried out the zero tolerance policy, for you and Mr. Lloyd, when you carried out the policy, you knew that putting thousands of kids, into a situation where they were at risk of sexual abuse was going to be the result. Did you discuss this issue before going forward? Did you discuss the threat of sexual abuse to these kids among each other? Were there discussions with staff?
Representative, let me first correct an error. Those are not HHS staff in any of those allegations. That statement is false.
Commander White, we're speaking of allegations of sexual abuse against members of my team. I don't have a lot of time. And you know what I've seen? You know what I've seen in these reports that were delivered to us, buried in stacks of documents?
Listen to this.
This thick, without any notation? I saw thousands of cases of sexual abuse.
Here you go. Thousands of cases of sexual abuse. I knew I wasn't exaggerating.
HHS staff overseas. I will make that clarification. It doesn't make what happened anything less horrific. Any less horrific. Let me just continue. Hold on one second, Mr. White, please. Commander White. The question is, when you went forward this policy, did anyone discuss this? Was this a hesitation? Given that you had this history, did anyone worry about what was going to happen to these kids? Was the secretary aware of the numbers in these charts?
You're speaking of the numbers of our PREA reports, and those 154 are allegations. And this is a longer
conversation.
Oh, my God. It is a longer conversation.
Oh, my God.
In every conversation that we had about separation, we opposed separation.
I appreciate that.
That was based on actual
facts. And was the secretary aware of these numbers? Was the secretary aware that in moving forward and doing the work that you do, and for everyone on the panel, did people consider that when you went forward on the zero tolerance policy, that we're moving forward on a policy that would put these kids at risk of sexual assaults? That's the question.
This is so sick.
And if the answer is you don't know, I would ask staff to hand over to deliver to you these two charts, in particular the one that, you're right, does contain the allegations. It also contains the results of investigations. Those employees who were reassigned, those who were terminated, those who continued to be employed. There are 1,000 questions that we have, but I would ask that you deliver these to the secretary so that we can have a full exploration of them. The details of these sexual abuse allegations are shocking. Mr. Chairman and Chairperson Lofgren, I know, will join me in continuing to press the administration on these issues. It was our obligation, the administration's obligation, to help keep these kids safe, child's best interest, safety, and well-being of alien children. That's what we heard this morning. Mr. Chairman, we failed. And this is just the start of what I believe to be a very important series of questions that this administration must answer.
All right. So that's my Congressman, Ted Deutsch. That happened today. It was a hearing at the House Judiciary Committee, now that I have this up here. And what Ted Deutsch explained was in thousands of pages of documents buried in between with no notations, no flagging, no nothing. Thankfully, he had, I guess, staff going through all those papers. They found these allegations of 154 instances of unaccompanied minors being sexually assaulted, abused by HHS personnel or the people that they've hired to watch these kids? Now, the whole country went ballistic on Friday because the idiot Robert Kraft was caught in a yank and wank thing in Jupiter, Florida, where it just so happens that all the hookers are victims of human trafficking. Well, this is even worse. That's pretty despicable. This is even worse because these are children that our government separated from their parents, or children that were sent here by their parents to escape a horrendous situation where they were coming from and came here to be safe, only to be sexually assaulted by adults. What kind of country are we? How can this be allowed to happen? I for one, am very grateful for my Congressman Ted Deutch that he stood up and did that today. I wasn't planning on opening the show like that, but thank goodness for Randy Rainbow. The other thing is, last night, Bernie Sanders was the subject for a town hall on CNN. CNN, you know what? For once, I agree with Donald Trump. CNN sucks. Let me play for you something. Here's one of the questions. Did I not pull it over? Shoot. Oh, I hate when I'm unprepared. All right, I'm going to show you CNN. Let's see. Okay, here's one of the questions from the town hall. I'll just play for you the question. It's not even about his answer on this one. This is just a question. Here we go.
At American University, Shawnee's from Denver.
As we saw in the 2018 midterms, the Democratic Party has become more female, more racially diverse, and younger in age. How can a voter like me feel confident in your ability to represent the party, especially given that your response to sexual harassment allegations during your campaign is that you were, quote, a little bit busy running around the country trying to make the case to be elected as president?
Well, I think that quote was a little bit out of context.
A little bit. And first of all, what I'd say to that young woman is,
fuck you very, very much.
And it was actually before that I tweeted, so I wasn't big on Twitter last night, but I tweeted something like, these questions are bullshit. Well, then I realized, thanks to the Twitter machine, that many of these questions were plants. That woman from American University is actually a public policy intern at one of the biggest lobbying firms in D.C., Cassidy and Associates. The questions were planted, and it was just bullshit. Now, that said, I got to say, Bernie held his own. He was in control. I thought his answers were, for the most part, excellent. Especially this one. And again, another one of the question was, the question was something to the effect of, I may have the question here.
To me, when I talk about...
Nope. All right, I don't have the question here. The question was about, how can you expect us to live in a socialist nation? And what he said was, unfortunately, I pulled this from the wrong place. He said, you mean democratic socialist? Because there's a difference between socialism and democratic socialism. And Bernie gave a great response to exactly what democratic socialism is.
To me, when I talk about democratic socialism, what I talk about are human rights and economic rights.
President Trump said in a State of the Union address,
okay.
America will never be a socialist country.
Will that hold true if you're elected president?
If I am elected president, we will have a nation in which all people have health care as a right, whether Trump likes it or not. We are going to make public colleges and universities tuition free.
Yep.
We are going to raise the minimum wage to a living wage of at least $15 an hour. And whether Trump likes it or not, when I talk about human rights, you know what that also means? It means that our kids and grandchildren have the human right to grow up in a planet that is healthy and habitable. And it is really a disgrace and an embarrassment that we have a president who rejects science, who does not even understand that climate change is real and caused by human activity, who does not understand what this planet will look like in years to come if we do not go forward boldly and transform our energy system away from fossil fuels.
Let's continue with climate change right now.
Okay, so that was a bit of Bernie. Now, I start in with this, and of course, somebody comes into the YouTube chat room with the screen name of Blacka Blacka, who says, Bernie is no friend to black people. Abs for that. Oh, and I guess it was supposed to be, and for that, he'll be ignored by me. Well, then you're a bigot, because Bernie is a friend to black people. This is a meme that was perpetrated by his opponents in 2016. It's bullshit. And I got to tell you, boy, because I've expressed my support of Bernie Sanders, as you can tell, I've got two guests here in the studio. Thank you to Melissa, who's in the chat room. These arrived in the mail yesterday. I got an action figure Bernie and an action figure Elizabeth Warren. And they will keep me company here in the studio because, you know, I'll get Bernie back on again, I'm sure. I'll probably never get to interview Elizabeth Warren. But anyway, this is a bullshit meme about Bernie not liking black people. Sorry, but it was planted by the Hillary Clinton people who are now smearing Bernie. Did you see the piece that was in Politico over the weekend? Hillary Clinton staffers from 2016 put a hit piece in Politico about Bernie Sanders demanding a private jet to fly around and do 39 campaign rallies for her leading up to the general election. Well, the thing is, he didn't demand a private jet. And from everything that I've read, and believe me, I checked out this story and it's bullshit. Wherever there was a commercial flight available, he took it. When there wasn't one, he got on a private plane. By the way, Hillary Clinton, in her speaking fees, demands a private plane. That has nothing to do with this, just it's a fact. These smear attacks on Bernie Sanders are ridiculous, and it's such to the point where my timeline was just filled with these kind of idiots. Somebody's got Bernie's inability to win the black vote. It's bullshit. In fact, maybe some of the older black people, for some reason, are believing the Clinton camp spin. But Bernie Sanders did better among the youth, both African American, white, Hispanic. The youth vote went to Bernie Sanders, and he started out polling around 4 to 5% young people. I think this is the 18 to 34 group, and ended up with 43% of that vote. So stop it. Now there's some criticism, and I don't have the stats here, but there are graphs out there showing how much of the vote each of the candidates got. So the question, there was a question last night about reparations. And I wish I had this clip pulled. The question was, do you support reparations? And he said, he gave a convoluted answer. It's sort of a convoluted question. It's not a simple yes or no. And basically what he said was, it's not a simple yes or no. What do you mean by reparations? Was the question he asked. And Wolf, the Blitz, said something like, well, Elizabeth Warren and Joaquin Castro, or Julian Castro, whichever one of the Castros is running, they've both endorsed reparations. And he said, what do you mean by reparations? I went looking to see if either one of them had Diane Russell in the chat room, then you could get Blocka out of here. Just ban him from the chat room if he's a troll. Sorry, I digress. None of the other candidates, those who have said they're for reparations, have spelled out a plan. You tell me what your plan is for reparations. There is no reparations that are going to make things right. Human beings were held as slaves by people in this country, by our ancestors, maybe yours. Do you ever watch that PBS show, Finding Your Roots? It's heartbreaking when you see these people come on and do their family history, and they find out that their ancestors were slave owners. It's devastating. But I don't say I have the answers. How do you make reparations? I don't have the answer. Bernie Sanders simply asked the question, "What does that mean?" No one can answer. All right, so maybe it is something that obviously deserves discussion, but to try to paint Bernie as a racist? Bullshit. He's been walking the walk, or walking the talk, or wherever that saying goes, since before some of you were born. And, some people poo-poo the fact that Bernie Sanders marched with Dr. King. I don't poo-poo that. I say that's who this man has been all these years. and he still is. God, it's ugly. It's ugly out there. So I pinned a tweet to my if I can get to my main Twitter page. I don't know how to navigate Twitter. I pinned a tweet to the top of my feed, which reads thusly. This is my Twitter feed. On it, I will post whatever I please. If you come onto my timeline to fight with me about a candidate, I will block you. Not interested in fighting. Have a civil discussion if you want, but if you throw bombs, you're blocked. November 3rd, 2020 is a long way away. All right. So, yeah. God, I thought Bernie did great last night, but I hated the way CNN stacked the questions. And even with them stacking the questions and filling the room with political operatives from the DNC and lobbying shops, they couldn't stop the crowd in there from chanting, Bernie, 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 because he's the real deal. And Bernie's leading in the polls. So there. All right, God, I've gone on for way too long. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get to what's news and come back on the other side with Gotta Laugh, because there's a lot to talk about today. So stick around. I'm Nicole Sandler. It's the Nicole Sandler Show at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It's a busy split-screen kind of week, starting with Donald Trump in Vietnam, bone spurs and all, for his second summit with Kim Jong-un.
I have a very, very good relationship with Kim Jong-un. Very, very good.
We have a special feeling, and I think it's going to lead to something very good.
In a meeting with the country's governors, the president laid out the U.S.'s goal that North Korea get rid of its nuclear weapons without defining exactly what that looks like, while also appearing to tamp down expectations.
I'm not in a rush. I don't want to rush anybody. I just don't want testing. As long as there's no testing, we're happy.
A far cry from his position following the first summit last June.
It will be a total denuclearization, which is already starting.
The president had gone even further in a tweet saying, quote, there is no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea. But Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told Jake on State of the Union that's just not true.
Do you think North Korea remains a nuclear threat?
Yes.
But the president said he doesn't.
It's not what he said. I mean, I know precisely.
He tweeted
what he said.
There is no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea.
Right. What he said is that what he said was that the efforts that had been made in Singapore, this commitment that Chairman Kim made, have substantially taken down the risk to the American people.
As the talks play out, the events in Congress could distract from the president's summit, including Trump's former personal attorney Michael Cohen testifying before Congress three times, privately and publicly.
Immigrants are welcome here.
And the House will vote Tuesday to block the president's national emergency declaration for the border wall.
If you don't have it, you're not going to have borders. You're not going to have a country pretty soon.
58 former senior national security officials see it differently, signing on to a scathing bipartisan letter admonishing the president's declaration.
The House on Tuesday is voting on a resolution to block Donald Trump's controversial national emergency declaration at the southern border. The legislation already has enough co-sponsors to pass, 230, including one Republican, Justin Amash. Once it passes the House, it moves to the Senate, where it seems only one more Republican vote is needed. Tom Tillis announced in a Washington Post op-ed on Monday that, quote, as a U.S. senator, I cannot justify providing the executive with more ways to bypass Congress. Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski had already signaled that they're on board. One more Republican defector would allow the bill to pass, sending it to Trump's desk, where it's believed he'd issue his first presidential veto. Michael Cohen begins 3 days of testimony on Capitol Hill Tuesday with a closed session at the Senate Intelligence Committee. On Wednesday, we all get to watch as Cohen appears before an open session of the House Oversight Committee. And then on Thursday, he's back behind closed doors again to testify before the House Intelligence Committee. A TV news crew from Univision was reportedly detained in Caracas, Venezuela on Monday after anchor Jose Ramos asked Nicolas Maduro questions he didn't like and showed him a video of people eating from the trash. They were released after about 3 hours, but their equipment and videotape was confiscated. Authorities informed them they'd be deported on Tuesday. As if things aren't shaky enough in Venezuela, let me direct you toward the border between India and Pakistan, where things are heating up between the two nuclear rivals. Earlier this month, a suicide car bomb attack in Kashmir killed 40 Indian soldiers. India blamed Pakistan and then launched airstrikes on an alleged terrorist training camp across the border. Kashmir has been bitterly contested by India and Pakistan since the partition of the two countries in 1947, leading to three wars and numerous skirmishes. Colorado's new governor, Jared Polis, will sign a measure to award his state's electoral votes to the winner of the national popular vote. Colorado will become the 12th state to join the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. These 12 states and the District of Columbia, which has also passed a popular vote bill, account for 181 electoral votes, just under 90 shy of the 270 votes a presidential candidate needs to win the White House. So the compact won't go into effect until the coalition includes states that add up to 270 electoral votes or more. Once it does go into effect, states that are part of the coalition would award their electoral votes en masse to the candidate who wins the national popular vote. The White House plans to create an ad hoc group of select federal scientists to reassess the government's analysis of climate science and counter conclusions that the continued burning of fossil fuels is harming the planet, this according to three senior administration officials. The National Security Council initiative would include scientists who question the severity of climate impacts and the extent to which humans contribute to the problem. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers issued an executive order withdrawing more than 110 Wisconsin National Guard soldiers and aviators from Arizona, saying there was no justification for stationing troops at the U.S.-Mexico border. And finally, voters in Chicago head to the polls Tuesday to pick a new mayor to replace Rahm Emanuel, who isn't seeking re-election. The field of candidates is large, 14 people, so there will likely be a runoff. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
This is a huge, huge issue.
And we're talking about it. The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Ah, finally. Yes, every Tuesday we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh, who's out there in snowy California, to talk about what's going on in the news. And there's a lot going on today. First, we got to get her on the phone. So, hello? Shit. You know, best laid plans and all. I'm sure it's on my end, because of course, you know, we can never go through a day without some technical problems. Hold on one second. I'm pretty sure I know what the issue is now. It's not. Oh, there it is. Okay, Laffy, you there? Damn it. Okay, Laffy, I'm going to call you back on the other computer. I don't know what's going on. It's not working right. This is, you know, my life. Welcome to it. All right, let me do this. Let me try it this way. We're going to try one other thing. We're doing it live, damn it. Doing it live. And this shit happens when I sometimes do it live. So let's try it again. Let's see if this works. Hello? Hello? Oh, don't tell me. We may not have a show today. Let me check it here. Calling. That's not it. Oh, I just love this stuff. Can't you tell? I had somebody once tell me, a person in radio, you love. All right, that's supposed to be it there. Test. All right, I know. Hello? Laffy, are you there? Shit. I don't know what's going on. All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. This really sucks. We'll take a quick break. We will come back on the other side. I'm going to try to figure this out off the air. It's live radio, people, and this really sucks, and I'm sorry. We got off to just such a whopping start, didn't we? All right, we'll listen to Jim Hightower, and hopefully we'll come back with Gotta Laugh next.
Hear about a city that had the integrity to kiss off Amazon way back in 2017. Today on Hightower's Radio Lowdown. The richest man in the world, who heads one of the world's largest and richest corporations, is also filthy rich in arrogance and pomposity. Jeff Bezos of Amazon has demanded that a city's officials kowtow to him by handing billions of taxpayer dollars to his retail behemoth, essentially bribing him to locate an Amazon headquarters in this particular city. But lo and behold, the city mustered its collective integrity and pride to say no to this devil's bargain. The city I'm bragging on is not New York City, which recently made national news by rejecting Amazon's attempt to fleece its taxpayers. Rather, I'm saluting San Antonio, Texas, which in 2017 simply refused to play Bezos' con game when he first rolled it out. While 238 cities and states groveled in front of the diminutive potentate, San Antonio's mayor and top county official sent a Dear Jeff letter, kissing him off. They said their city has much to offer, but any development deal, quote, has to be the right fit, not just for the company, but for the entire community, adding that blindly giving away the farm isn't our style. The officials wrote that a key criteria for awarding any incentives was whether a company is, quote, a good corporate citizen, noting that Amazon almost certainly had already chosen its preferred location. They call the national search a money-grubbing scam. This public process is, intentionally or not, creating a bidding war amongst states and cities, they charged. Why should public officials anywhere be throwing billions of scarce public dollars at a pompous corporate prince who neither needs nor deserves such tribute? This is Jim Hightower saying, like San Antonio and New York, officials everywhere need to stop bidding against each other in the corporate bribe racket.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to hightowerlowdown.org.
All right, let's try this again. We're doing it the old-fashioned way. We should say, I don't want to play the intro again in case it doesn't work. We'll just try it from here. Hello? Oh, shit. Hold on. It's still not working. Hold on. I think I know what the problem is. We're doing it the old-fashioned way with my cell phone. Oh, man. Oh, shit. All right. Hold on. Let me plug in here. God damn it. I hate this shit. Okay. Laffy, you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yay! Yay!
Woo-hoo!
See, sometimes it's MacGyver here. There's a little buzz on the line. But okay. Hello?
Yeah. Yes, you've reached the why Trump doesn't like the Oscars hotline.
Oh, okay.
It took you a while to reach this hotline,
yeah,
but we're here.
God damn.
We're always here for you. A first one if you think Trump didn't watch the Oscars because, well, Hannity wasn't hosting.
Yeah.
First two if you think Trump refused to go to any after party not catered by Arby's.
Or McDonald's.
Or McDonald's. Press three if you think Trump felt slighted when they wouldn't let him into the dressing rooms where women nominees were changing.
Yeah. So he can inspect the merchandise?
Yeah, exactly. Grabbing the whatever. You're sounding a little distant, a little choppy, just so
yeah,
you know.
I'm sorry. I don't, you know,
that's
there's static on the line. It's old fashioned. I don't know what went wrong. All the settings are correct. I tried it on both computers with the Skype. It didn't work.
Don't even worry about it.
The gremlins
we're
in the studio. Yeah.
That's okay. Okay. Let's go right to some tweets, because I've got so many, we're never going to get through them. So we'll do today's first.
Okay, let's do it.
Welcome to my tweets.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. So, Laffy.
Did you play the intro? Because I couldn't hear it.
I did. I just played the intro. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Actually, the first couple are from yesterday, but, you know, they're always worth a shot here. Max Zapatosky, he's a Washington Post reporter. He said, if you're expecting Mueller and the DOJ to willingly release a report that blasts Trump or other unindicted people in his orbit, please read these remarks today from Rod Rosenstein, who appointed Mueller and supervised most of his investigation. The bold emphasis is mine. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read you the bold because we're running so long here. He emphasizes there are a lot of reasons not to be transparent about what we do in government. And it can be really misleading if you're overly transparent about information that the government collects. So I think we do need to be really cautious about that. And then he goes on to say, let's see where I can pick this up. The guidance I always give my prosecutors and the agents that I worked with during my tenure on the front lines of law enforcement were, if we aren't prepared to prove our case beyond a reasonable doubt in court, then we have no business making allegations against American citizens.
Yeah, what was he trying to say there? I found that whole thing very confusing.
It was very confusing, and I think that was intentional.
Yeah.
But I think what he was trying to do was lower expectations, and mine have been lowered, so, you know, I don't know. But I think we're going to get more out of SDNY and some of the, you know, state cases and not as much out of Mueller.
Hopefully so, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, onward and upward. So Natalie Walkover of Quantum Magazine said, for a year I've been reporting this story about a major climate news finally breaking today. A new simulation that global warming could cause stratocumulus clouds to disappear in as little as a century, which would add, get ready, 14 degrees Fahrenheit of extra warming. And Rob Russo, who's a writer, a Fox News contributor, he said, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not a climate scientist, but this would effectively be game over for human civilization, yes? Yes, Rob, it would.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
That's big, major, fat news. And I think I heard one person talk about it on nighttime MSNBC, but that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's talking about it. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, no, they're too busy. Anyway, they're too busy bad-mouthing Bernie on MSNBC these days.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen a lot of that. I saw one person bad-mouth him, but other than that, at least nighttime, I haven't seen anybody do that. Daytime, yes, I have.
Yes.
But, yeah.
And AM Joy and what, you know,
Yeah.
It's just their self-amusement on both, you know, CNN, MSNBC. I can only imagine what they're saying on Fox. It's all socialism all the time.
Oh, forget Fox. Yeah, but, Yeah. But so far on nighttime MSNBC, it's been very even-handed. It's daytime where people roll their eyes. And also Joy Reid, of course, who hates Bernie. She gave him a big eye roll after one of her guests said that Bernie won the week.
Yep.
So that was unfortunate. Anyway, I was watching TV this morning.
Yeah.
And they showed a clip of Senator Kamala Harris being asked, and I want to emphasize, she was asked a question that she answered in an interview if Trump was racist.
Right.
And she said, so many words, yes, he is, right?
Yes.
So Craig Melvin, MSNBC's Craig Melvin, then went on to ask Yamiche Alcindor if that was appropriate because Trump's out of the country.
Oh, my God. Oh, my.
Yes.
I got to tell you, out of everybody on MSDNC, Craig, I change the channel when he's on. I think he's awful. And that just underscores
he's awful.
It. Horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, I have it on, as I tell you often in the morning, regardless of who's on, because I need to catch up with headlines.
I understand.
Being in California, you guys are 3 hours ahead of us.
Yep.
So I you know, jam my brain full of whatever I can get. And I get on Twitter immediately and try to pick up on all the news I can. So I, you know, I have it on in the background as I'm blow drying and everything, and he drives me nuts.
Yep.
No, oh, my God. Yep. Don't even start me on him. Yep. Anyway, Southern Poverty Law Center tweeted, anti-immigrant hate groups are the most extreme of the hundreds of nativist and vigilante groups that have proliferated since the late 90s when anti-immigration xenophobia began to rise to levels not seen in the U.S. since the 1920s.
Wow.
Have a good day, everybody.
The ugliness, the divide. In fact, you know, Bernie had a really good point about this last night. Did I pull it over here? I'm having one of those days. Can you tell? Bernie made a great point. And Bernie wasn't afraid to invoke Trump's name. And he said this about Donald Trump.
This president is the first president in the modern history of our country who is trying to divide our people up based on the color of their skin, the country they were born in, their sexual orientation, their gender, their religion. And that is an outrage. Our job is to bring our people together, not to divide them up. That's why Mr. Trump must be defeated.
And it's true. Everything he said was true.
I couldn't hear it.
Oh, it was the clip about talking about how Trump wants to divide us, basically. And
he's the first president
to try to divide us along racial lines, along, you know, ethnic lines, or by where you were born.
Right.
Yep. And it's
absolutely.
And it's as bad, I think, as it's ever been in this country. Certainly within my lifetime.
Well, absolutely it is. I've never seen anything like what's been going on in the last couple of years. I remember when I used to write about this a lot, about the white supremacist groups, the military ones, you know, and that was back during the Bush years. And then again, as Obama got elected and was so popular, it got way worse. And now it's even worse than that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's... Kim, of Washington Post saying, new House Oversight Committee has voted to issue subpoenas for Barr, Nielsen, and Azar for records related to the Trump administration's family separation policy.
Good.
So good.
Well, now, especially after hearing that Ted Deutch question.
Oh, yeah, that was
unbelievable.
That was unbelievable. I think I have a tweet about that, which will just be redundant, but I think I do have that. So LOL GOP says, so far, we've learned the Trump administration is fine with kidnapping kids, orphaning kids, and covering up the rape of kids.
Yep.
The only thing they seem to object to is getting health insurance to kids.
Yeah.
Imagine that. And then Aaron, here's what I was referring to just now. Aaron Reichland Melnick, he's a political analyst at the IMM Council, formerly an immigration lawyer. He said, had to step away from the thread for a moment. Phew. Come back to hearing Representative Escobar, quote, thousands and thousands of children were traumatized with anyone held accountable. ICE ERO's Asher saying, no, Border Patrol Chief Provost, I'm not aware. So it's basically what you just put up there.
Sickening.
How they were unaware. I'm sorry. I don't believe that. If they were unaware, that's a crime.
Mm-hmm. It is a crime. And they had to have been aware.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. When you were playing that clip, I'm so glad you played it because I didn't get to hear it, live. Wow. Good for Deutsch.
Yep.
Anyway, here's something from USA Today that was tweeted. An iceberg the size of New York City is about to break off Antarctica, says NASA.
Amazing. But there's no climate change. There's no No. And how is that snow, by the way, Laffy?
Well, you know, I have to correct a lot of the reports I've heard. We do get snow in LA every few decades. Like, I remember in the early 90s, late 80s, we had snow in the San Fernando Valley. And when I say snow, it's maybe an inch, and we play with it and make snowballs, but, you know, that's it. And it did apparently snow out here where I am, and of course, in other places in Los Angeles, even Malibu.
Yeah.
I never saw it. I think it was just that there were a few snowflakes, you know.
Well,
but
no,
there was
but for some people, there were. My friend Vanessa, who lives not far from you in West Hills, she posted a picture out of her back door, and there was snow on the ground.
Yeah, I think it was colder in the San Fernando Valley, and that's where I used to live. That's where I had snow, exactly. Uh-huh. It does happen. It does happen around here from time to time. Yes, climate change, but also
yes,
just
but
FYI,
there was snow in Phoenix. There was snow in Las Vegas. I mean, things that aren't
that's
supposed
crazy.
To happen have been happening. And by the way, middle of February here, it was in the 90s this weekend.
What? I missed what you said.
It was in the 90s here in South Florida.
My God. Are you serious?
I'm serious. People see me sweating in my studio. I'm wearing a little t-shirt today, but I'll wear a tank top because it's hot here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. Well, here it's beautiful. It's been kind of rainy and stuff, but it's right at the moment. It's really nice. Anyway, Matthew Dowd said he was responding to Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Uh-huh.
He said, so let me get this straight. A lying spokeswoman for a habitual lying president says not to take seriously someone who lied to help said president for more than 10 years now that someone wants to tell the truth. And he's talking about, of course, Michael Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
So because Huckabee S came out with he's a lying liar.
It's
don't believe
just,
him.
It's just amazing to me that their defense against Michael Cohen is, well, he's a liar.
Yeah.
Pot, meat kettle. Hello. It's just Orwellian in its insanity.
Oh, it is. She's a liar working for a liar who's accusing Michael Cohen of being a liar, and Michael Cohen lied for Trump. Here's one from Roll Call. A tweet went out. The Senate vote on abortion legislation failed to advance measure. The bill stalls despite lobbying efforts and Trump support. That's good.
Yeah.
It was the Senate voted Monday evening on a bill that Republicans say would guarantee additional protections to an infant who survives an abortion or attempted abortion. The bill fell short.
Well, so, the Democrats filibustered it, which is I'm glad they could. Much as I want to see once the Democrats take back control, I'd like to see them get rid of the filibuster. It's sad. It's scary because, the Republicans will eventually get back control again.
Right. I mean, I have such mixed feelings about that. I'm right there with you. Of course, when we're in power, we want that to happen. But when they're in power, when they're in power, we want to be able to filibuster. And when we're in power, we don't want them to. So it's just one of those things that I always go back and forth on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. How do you feel about it?
How do I feel about what?
About ending the filibuster.
That's what I said. I'm conflicted because now it's saving us. When there's a madman like Trump in the White House, I'm sorry, you need and a Republican Party that in the Senate they're struggling to find the votes to go along with this vote that's going to happen in the House today. Sorry, my brain's just not working today.
Okay.
I'm having one of those days.
And I'm having trouble. Just so you know, why I didn't quite hear that you had already said that is because you cut out every so often a little bit, and so I missed it. I'm so sorry. But yeah, no, I'm right there with you.
Look, when the fact that they still need one more vote apparently, and they've got time because the Senate won't take up this bill to undo Trump's national emergency for at least 18 days. That's after it passes the House today, which it will. But so far, they only have two people, two Republicans, who I think it's three, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, and Tom Tillis. Those are the only three Republicans in the Senate who can say this is not a national emergency and this is a dangerous, slippery slope they're going down?
I thought they were one short.
They're one short.
One short.
Yep, they need four.
Yeah.
They're one short.
Yeah. It's insane. I this is burns me up more than anything, and we'll end up losing in court. Watch, we'll end up losing in court. We'll win in the appeals courts, and then the Trump's packed court, the SCOTUS will side with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Figluzzi said this about Michael Cohen. What he says needs to be verifiable by documents and witnesses. Sometimes the best motivator for someone to come clean is imminent sound of prison door closing. He wants Southern District of New York to be happy, and that's the best motivation for him to tell the truth. That was in response to Republicans calling him a liar. Yes, he has every motivation to tell the truth now. He has nothing to lose anymore. And he doesn't want to go to prison again, and so he won't perjure himself in front of Congress.
Who won't perjure himself in front of Congress?
Michael Cohen.
Of course not. No, actually, at this point, I don't think he will. At this point, I think he's got nothing left to lose, and he's got to be honest.
Right.
I just think it's ridiculous that there's 2 days of testimony behind closed doors at this point.
No, I do, too. I don't see any reason for that. Moving along, Axios tweeted this, and I'm going to read you Stone Kettle's response.
Okay.
Axios tweeted, Ivanka Trump goes after Ocasio-Cortez policies in Fox News interview. She says, quote, people want to work for what they get, so I think this idea of guaranteed minimum is not something most people want. So Stone Kettle says, these fucking people, seriously, no more self-awareness than a dog licking its own asshole in public.
Oh, my God.
I love that one.
Oh, God.
Here's one from Dreadful E. Dreadful E is just a person I randomly saw on Twitter, and he said, instead of, quote, anti-vaxxers, unquote, we should call them plague enthusiasts.
Oh, that works. Yeah, or measles weasels.
Pro-measles. Oh, God. Okay, so here's a headline that was tweeted out from Newsweek. Mueller's team has notes from Chief of Staff to former White House counsel Don McGahn about Trump's conduct in the West Wing, detailing his behavior for obstruction of justice probes.
Ooh. Okay.
That's fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
Works for me.
Here's one from David Cicilline, the congressman from Rhode Island.
Who I'm really liking these days. Yeah.
Oh, me too. I'll read you what he's talking about. He said, let me read you first. He shows a screen grab of CNN with a chyron that says, CNN, Trump expected to stay up overnight to watch Cohen.
Right.
And he said, David Cicilline says, glad to see the president is giving his full attention to his meeting with one of the most brutal nuclear-armed dictators on Earth.
Yeah. You still there? Okay.
I saw
that tweet and kind of laughed. Yeah, Trump is going to stay up all night to watch the Michael Cohen test. Doesn't he have TiVo or something? I mean, really, there's a DVR. You can record it. This is the fact that he's meeting with Kim Jong-un is kind of important, but he's going to get all pissed off
he's
watching.
Meeting with him
oh, my God.
Yes. 20 minutes face-to-face alone.
And as I said, and probably with only Kim Jong-un having a translator and no one else, and you wrote
Lavrov can be there.
Lavrov's going to be in this meeting?
No, I'm just saying.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I know, right?
Yeah, because Trump apparently asked the Russians for advice on how to deal with the, with the North Korea.
Yeah, and he took the advice. That's the thing. He didn't just ask for it. He took it.
Yeah.
He's doing what Russia is telling him to do. It's not even a joke anymore. Anyway, Rick Wilson said Roger Stone is antsy and wants trouble because Roger Stone on Instagram posted this quote. He said it's from Mark Twain. I'm going to give you a spoiler alert.
Okay.
Snopes said this isn't a quote from Mark Twain. All right, so here's the quote. Do not fear the enemy, for your enemy can only take your life. It is far better that you fear the media. I'm sure Mark Twain said media, right?
Right.
That you fear the media, for they will steal your honor. That awful power, the public opinion of a nation, is created in America by a horde of ignorant, self-complacent simpletons who failed at ditching and shoemaking and fetched up in journalism on their way to the poorhouse. Yeah, he never said that.
That was Roger Stone saying that he was quoting Mark Twain?
That was Roger Stone on Instagram posting what he called that quote from Mark Twain.
The judge should have just thrown him in jail. Laffy, we're out of time. And this is like a day that I'm being put out of my misery. To everyone, I apologize for the technical issues today. I don't love the chaos, despite what some people say. It's just my lot in life, I think. Gotta laugh either on the Twitters. Tomorrow, I have no idea what's going on. I was supposed to be interviewing Julie Brown, the Miami Herald reporter who broke the story on Acosta and Jeffrey Epstein. And she had to cancel on me at the last minute because she said there's a developing angle to the story. So I have to wait now. So we wait. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. I have no idea. Until then.
Oh, boy.
Have a great day, everyone. Thank
Goodbye,
you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.
Later.
Bye.
Bye. Sorry.